business taxes. Was stressing about all the time and all the money you spent on your taxes.
This is my bill?
Now Business Taxes is a TurboTax small business expert who does your taxes for you and offers year-round advice at no additional cost so you can keep more money in your business. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com/business. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. This is the day four of Pledge Week. And tonight we have back there in the phone booth Pastor's mighty men, Aaron, Eric, and Lee, and we have him in the glass cage. Let's see. I don't know what to say about him tonight. There you go. All right. Let me just say this. He has a heated studio. He has a heater. We don't.
Can't be on during the show, though, unfortunately.
We're in this old, cold studio, okay? I guess they're cutting, you know, saving money, right? Yeah, go ahead, save money and freeze the old people. There you go. And here, the cackling is none other than the woman that never lays an egg, Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And here, if you hear his old bones are rattling, it's because it's cold in here. And that's Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
Alrighty, there you go. Yeah, I don't know. What are they trying to save money or what? What are they're freezing us out.
I don't know, yeah.
Okay.
Cold days.
Yeah. Well, if we were chickens or something, we'd have the Animal Protective League on our side, but you and I are left in the cold.
Yeah, okay. They're trying to get rid of the old people, I guess.
Yeah. But we're old, but we're bold, right?
Amen.
It's, you can handle the cold when you're bold. But anyhow, folks, it's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Phone lines are wide open. I mean, they're wide open tonight, right? And so we need to hear from you. This is Pledge Week, day four of Pledge Week. Only have today and tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so let's get right into our scripture because we have a whole lot to cover tonight. We got a lot of things to bring to people that NBC, ABC, CBS, the legacy news media don't want the people to know.
Yeah.
Especially the deep state, huh? Well, let's start, Richard. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 9.
Okay.
And we finished yesterday at verse 16, but why don't you go ahead and read up to verse 16, and we'll pick it up there, and then we'll comment on verses 17 through 27.
Okay. Chapter 9 of Joshua, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clawed with their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilead, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make a league with us." And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, "Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?" And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are ye, and from whence came ye?" And they said unto him, "From a very far country, thy servants, and are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, in Sihon, king of Heshbon, and up to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Therefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, 'Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot from our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent, and these old garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey.' And the men took their victuals and all, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them, to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them."
Let's see here now. Here today, Richard, well, first of all, the title of the message was "Don't Trust and Verify." Don't trust, but verify. Now, you know, we had talked earlier about how you have to be very careful, as you and I know, how the enemy infiltrates from within.
Very much so.
And we've been talking about how it makes me a little nervous to see people like Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, Barack Obama, later Senator Fetterman, and others meeting with Trump, President Trump, at the White House. Well, you see how they you know, betrayed him in his first 4 years. He appointed people he thought he could trust.
Yes, yeah. A lot of deceptive in his first 4 years of people that he thought were honest and good.
Well, now we see the enemy. The enemy will change its tactics when it has to. And I've been telling people, warning people here for years. People that listen to the program know that I've been warning them about Democrats running as Republicans and infiltrating. This is how we, here in Ohio at the State House, we have what we call the Rhino Blue 22. You had 22 Democrats that were Democrats that switched over, ran as Republicans, And they were doing that in the county out there where I live. And I was warning people, because they actually sent letters out. The Democrats were actually sending letters out saying, vote for this individual who's running as a Republican, but they're really Democrats. You know, we can't win in this county as being a Democrat, so we'll run as Republicans, okay?
Wow.
And not just here at all. I mean, they did that across the country. And we saw that. This is where the real danger is the Rhino Republicans, because they're on the inside, okay? And those are the ones that know just when to stick the knife in your back, okay?
Yes.
And so now here in this situation, this is what the Gibeonites did. Okay, they snuck in, pretending to be like with. To us, being deceptive and dishonest is wrong. To the Democrats out there, it's natural. I mean, anything you have to do to win. Now I'm not saying that to be mean or nasty. It's just true. They don't have any morals or values. Okay, I mean, look at Joe Biden. This man is wicked to the. Just wicked, okay?
Yes. Yeah,
look at Liz Cheney. You know, now I don't know why she's actually being investigated by the FBI now that Chris Wray is still there, but there's an investigation going on her because they don't normally investigate anyone who's an actual criminal. They go after pro-lifers. They go after January 6ers. They go after homeschoolers. Merrick Garland just gave his farewell speech. But... here, Josh Hawley asked the new incoming Pam Bundy if she would go after these corrupt government officials. And, of course, Merrick Garland is about as corrupt as you can get. This guy, I sat there and watched this man lying under oath, and everybody knew he lied under oath, but they knew that there was nothing they could do about it because... it was up to him to prosecute himself, and he wasn't likely to do that, was he?
Okay. Probably, no.
And so here, let's pick it up here in verse 16. Now, in verse 16, Joshua starts figuring things out. And what happened, you see, you had all of those, when you, those tribes that you just mentioned here, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all of them, along with the Gibeonites, were under God's condemnation. God said he condemned them. They had to be removed from the... Joshua was told to remove them out of the land.
Yeah.
And so here the Gibeonites said, well, we're not going to... You know, you don't fight against the God of Israel because we see what happens. He's got a 100% winning record, right?
Right.
So they said, let's infiltrate them, make them think that we're a part of them, so we'll be spared. But they made their big mistake because here Joshua goes into Gibeon, where they're all from, and here...
Yeah, and here they are. But the key is verse 14, where they ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's... I think that's a good lesson for Christians today, but is we need to sometimes go slow, and even before we make a decision, say, you know, I'll put that to prayer, and I'll decide... after I pray about it, not just jump into something.
Yeah. Well, here now, what happens is when they're going into giving, all of a sudden you've got the people that stayed in giving coming out, you know, and they realize they know each other. How do you know these people? Well, they're from here, okay?
Right.
And so, and the children of Israel journeyed and came into their cities. And on the third day, now their cities were Gibeon, and Shiphrah, and Beeroth, and Kirjathaim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. In other words, the people were pretty upset with them, like they are now against the deep state. People are pretty upset. They want to see people today. They want to see Nancy. By the way, Nancy Pelosi, she said she's not going to attend Trump's inauguration.
Oh my goodness, that'll probably break Trump's heart.
It'll kill him. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Remember how she impressed him when she tore up his State of the Union speech. Okay.
What a slow.
But all the princes said unto the congregation, "We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them." So the people said, "Look, we want you to slay these people for what they've done." Okay. "This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them." Okay. You see, the reason is they swore the oath by God.
Mm-hmm.
And the princes said unto them, "Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water, and to all the congregation, as the princes had promised them." This was hard work in those days.
Yeah, more or less. They didn't have servants or slaves to them. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't have any chainsaws, so they had to do it by hand, didn't they?
Okay. Yeah.
"And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have you beguiled us, saying that we were far from you when you dwell right among us?" And that's, "Now therefore we are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of God." And they answered Joshua and said, "Because it was certainly told that thy servants, that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in thine hand as it seemeth good and right unto thee and unto us do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, and they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose." Now, why do you think that, I got to stop. We haven't been giving the numbers out. Gary in Ohio pledges 50. Thank you, Gary. The phone numbers are 888-281-1110. That's the credit card number, 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. So why do you think, Richard, that they didn't just move on and say, we see them coming here. We know that God has condemned us if we stay here in this land. Why do you think they just didn't pack up and leave? What would be the benefits of staying even as servants or slaves of the Israelis?
Well, I don't think if they would have moved on, they would have ended up getting into involvement with some of the other tribes, and those tribes would have been destroyed. So it was their self-preservation here. But it's interesting in verse 24, it says, Moses to gave you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land. And that's really their undoing that we read about later on in the Old Testament, of how they didn't go in and destroy all the people. And then all these other nations started coming up and warring against them. And by the time David was king, he had battles all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was Saul. We talked about that was Saul. He did not destroy him to the last man as God had commanded Saul. And then
Saul, yeah.
And so
even before that, when they were going into these countries, they were instructed to destroy those nations, and some of them, they didn't destroy them. Some of the tribes kept them for slaves or whatever, and it was basically their undoing.
Yeah, you know, I guess they forgot that God was the one that made the eyes, so he saw what they were doing, and he made the ears, yeah. So he heard what they were saying, right? And then he made them the brain. He knew what they were thinking, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, that's the end of this passage. So we're going to stop right there, and we're going to play, you know, it's a very interesting thing that here just recently, Jack Sullivan from the Biden administration came out and he made a chilling warning before Monday, Trump's inauguration. Go ahead, could you play that clip? Yeah, the 1 minute one, yeah. Yeah, you played it earlier on the previous program.
Oh, I got to pull that one up. I had two pulled up from the Senate floor.
Oh, okay. There you go.
We'll get it there, folks.
Yeah. How about that?
It's worth listening to,
That's
all right. It's worth listening to.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll hear that clip. And meanwhile, let me give the numbers up. We got to hear from folks out there. They want to keep hearing from us. We got to hear from you. 888-281-1100 or 888-677-9673. There is kind of a chill in the air, a lot of chatter about this weekend. You know, on the 19th, on Sunday, he's supposed to have that big rally. But, and then, you know, there's something going on, too, with the amount of security they put in, especially all the medical teams, Richard. You know, they've got like 10 times more than they usually do.
Oh, wow.
For an event like this. So something. Go ahead and play that clip.
Security advisor. Here's a video Vinny shared with me before we got started. Jake Sullivan. And I think, Vinny, you asked me the question before you played it, and I didn't know where you were going with it. Do you mind asking the same question of the audience?
Okay.
What Vinny said to me. He says, I want you to watch this and tell me if there's something weird about the delivery of what he says in this. Folks, just watch it. That's what you said to me. And I'm like, what are you saying, Vinny? In about 10 seconds into it, you're going to say, why did you say that? You didn't have to say that. What's your point of saying that? Are you insinuating something? Are you suggesting something? Just watch this here. Go for it, Rob.
I just will say one last word, which is this is, I hope this is my last time at this podium, at least for a little while. I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean, the only thing that would bring me back is an unexpected event in the next few days, which, as you all know, is totally possible given
what
I've seen
that
over the course of the past years. But if it is, in fact, my last time before you, I just want to say thank you for what you guys do every day. Thank you for putting up with me.
They have a way of, you know, putting out these little hints and things that, and you know, we don't know. I mean, there might be nothing to that, but why did he say that? The timing is, who was it? No, it was Harry Truman said, nothing in Washington happens by accident, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said all these things are planned.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah. Are they threatening Trump or the inauguration?
This is where there's a lot of chatter going on now about that because, we played a clip yesterday. There was two more attempts on Trump's life that you didn't even hear anything about. Okay?
Wow.
When he was at Carter's funeral, there were two different guys there. That came in, were carrying knives and things, were trying to get to Trump. And so, anyhow, we have another clip we're going to play, and this would be the one with Josh Hawley and Pam Bondi. This is very, very good, so go Go ahead.
Gandhi, welcome. Congratulations on your nomination. I'm so glad that you've been nominated, as we discussed when we had the chance to meet.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to work with you as a state attorney general for a number of years, and I'm delighted to see you here today before the committee. I look forward to your confirmation. You will be confirmed. I, too, have taken note of the number of times you have been asked about weaponization of the Department of Justice as if it was a theoretical possibility that might happen in the future. One of my colleagues on the other side said, weaponization may well occur under your tenure. We all know that weaponization has occurred like we've never seen before in American history under this administration. And I want to get even more specific. In the last 4 years, this administration has carried out an unprecedented attack and campaign against people of faith. If you look at the numbers, we've never seen anything like it before in American history. It has been one of the most disgraceful chapters in the history of the Justice Department and in the history of the FBI. And I hope that you will reverse this and do right by every American citizen, including especially people of faith. Let me give you some specifics. After the Dobbs case was decided by the Supreme Court, over 100 pregnancy care centers and over 300 churches in this country were attacked, vandalized, firebombed. Do you happen to know off the top of your head how many prosecutions Merrick Garland's Justice Department brought in those cases?
I do not, Senator.
It's a stunning number. It's two. Hundreds of churches, hundreds of pregnancy care centers. And I might just add, these pregnancy care centers, the attacks on them, which were violent, which were gruesome, were egged on and encouraged by rhetoric from members of Congress, including members of this body, who have said that pregnancy care centers aren't real medicine, that they're not real doctors. They have legitimized these attacks. And the same thing was true of churches. And this Justice Department couldn't lift a finger to defend these Americans. But at the same time, they used legislation, a law known as the FACE Act, to prosecute at least 53 different pro-life demonstrators, including people like Mark Hawk from Pennsylvania, to whom this Justice Department sent a SWAT team to his door in the early morning hours. He has, I think, seven children. In the early morning hours, an FBI SWAT team shows up at his door to take him into custody and prosecute him. By the way, he was acquitted. This kind of outrageous, disparate treatment has to end. So here's my question to you. Will you protect churches and pregnancy care centers when they are targeted for violence, when they are targeted for intimidation, when their members or parishioners are threatened with violence or other acts of illegal behavior?
Yes, Senator.
Will you stop the disparate treatment of Americans on the basis of religious faith?
Yes, Senator.
Will you stop the deliberate persecution of pro-life Americans for nothing more than their pro-life beliefs?
Yes, Senator.
Will you ensure that nothing like the Mark Hauk case happens again, that Americans do not have SWAT teams arriving on their front doors with armed weapons to terrorize their children and their spouses, only in the end, of course, to have the case lost because there was nothing to it? Will you put an end to that kind of deliberate intimidation of the good American citizens on the basis of their religious beliefs?
Yes, Senator.
I'm glad to hear you say that because we need it. We need it. Ms. Bondi, we need a new chapter at the Justice Department, and we need it quickly. And I'm glad you're committed to it. Now, I also have heard you've been asked about your comment that you thought that in some cases we need to investigate the investigators, the ones who were bad. You know, I have to say I'm glad to hear you stand by that. We need to do that. You need to do that. And I'll give you another example. I'm sure you've read about this memo, which I now hold in my hands, this memo that was developed by the FBI field office in Richmond, Virginia, 23rd January 2023, targeting Catholic parishes for spying, for recruitment of infiltrators. I mean, the memo goes on and on and on about the FBI's plans to put assets into Catholic parishes, into choirs. This is an unbelievable, unbelievable assault on Americans' First Amendment rights, and we only know of it because of a brave whistleblower who came forward and released it to us. And I will tell you, I have never been misled and lied to like I was by the current attorney general and the now former FBI director when they sat right where you're sitting now and told this committee, oh, we don't know anything about it. Oh, only one field office was involved. It was the single work of a single field office and a very few individuals. As it turns out, that's not true. Multiple field offices were involved. Multiple individuals were involved. Under your leadership, will you put a stop to the use of FBI or Department of Justice resources to try and recruit informants and spies into Christian churches or any church or house of worship in this country on the basis of nothing more than faith?
Of course, Senator.
Let me just say this. To our knowledge, no one who was involved in the writing and performance, execution of this memo, has been disciplined or fired. Will you conduct an investigation like you talked about, Ms. Bondi, that will get to the bottom of abuses like this? And to be clear, this is an outrageous abuse. It is an outrageous abuse. One of the worst abuses of Department of Justice and FBI authority in our history. Will you conduct an investigation to find out who signed off on this, who approved it, who advocated for it within the Department of Justice? Will you open the books on these abuses so that the American people can have confidence in their DOJ?
Senator, and I think what you're talking about is the ultimate weaponization, what we've been discussing all day. If I am confirmed as Attorney General, one of the first things I will do, there'll be many, but I will personally read that memo, and if Mr. Patel is confirmed, discuss it with him right away.
Fantastic. And will you work with this committee and our relevant subcommittees? I'm going to chair a subcommittee called the Crime and Terrorism Committee. We're going to do our own investigation into what happened here at the FBI and the DOJ. Will you work with us as you discover the nature of these abuses, and as you put a stop to them, will you work with us to make sure the American people get all the facts and this never happens again?
And Senator, yes, I look forward to working with you and the Democrats. I would think this is something that we can all agree on both sides, that this should not be happening in the United States of America, and work together on it.
That's fantastic. Let me ask you one other question here in my just few seconds that are remaining. This memo targeting Catholic parishes repeatedly refers to as an expert source a group called the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center has a long history as an anti-religious group that has repeatedly gone after conservative and religious organizations, called them hate groups, called them sometimes terrorist groups. They're cited in this memo. They once infamously, the SPLC, called the Family Research Council a terrorist hate group, and an armed gunman came into their lobby and opened fire. Will you put a stop to the use of the SPLC as an official source for any Department of Justice memorandum or finding?
That will be one of the first things we will look at as well, Senator, and report back to you and the committee.
Thank you very much.
All righty. We're back now. Here, Richard, in 50 years, the main goal of this radio program, well, you know, as Peter said, we must obey God rather than man.
Yes.
And that's been our goal. You and I have been together for a long time. You spent 10 years in prison, not for breaking any laws, but for challenging a corrupt court, asking them to show you the laws, okay? And I know a lot of people out there say, could that happen? Yeah, that happens in America. And over the past 50 years, we've exposed the corruption time and time and time and time again. Okay. And I've had a deal where I had the ACLU and the other corrupt, virtually communist organizations come after us. Okay. Mm-hmm. But by God's grace, you know, and, you know, every time, you know, they were foiled. Now, this radio program, folks, you need to know, we don't make any money doing this. In fact, it costs us. I don't take a salary to do this. All these years, 50 years, we've been fighting with the communists, fighting with the anti, and this is Antichrist. We've had the MoveOn.org, all the others, the George Soros. But they've actually bought up radio stations we were on just to get us off there, because we were the voice of freedom. We are the voice of the Christian resistance movement.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
And so, folks, this is why we need to hear from you out there. We don't have sponsors, commercial sponsors, now, even though we do have commercial, you know, businesses that support us. But if we were, if we had them, they would go after them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they've actually tried to find out if we have any. Actually wrote letters and called the stations asking if any of those sponsored our program, okay, to go after them, to boycott them. And that's why we don't want to harm the businesses out there. But I want to praise the good Lord and thank him for those businesses that do. Now, every now and then, we give a shout-out for local businesses, mom-and-pop businesses that you know, go above and beyond in service, that do a great job of servicing the people. And so this is why we tell the folks we need to hear from them. Here it is. We're well into the program, 40 minutes in. We've only got one pledge tonight. Mm-hmm. We can't possibly stay on air, you know. We have to hear from the people. The phone lines are, I hope, working tonight, right? Okay.
Yeah, sir.
He said the phone lines are working. So I'll give the number out there again, 888-281-1110. And I don't think the people have any idea just how close we came to having to go off more stations because the lack of money, you know. And so, and here's the other thing, Richard, you know, the letters, we've got just recently over 100 letters from people and all telling us, we listen to you for the truth. We listen to you for the truth. That's for the Bible study and, you know, the news that we're bringing them. Here, you know, we've been telling you about how corrupt Merrick Garland, corrupt Merrick Garland, is. Now, he's gone after a lot of people for doing what we're doing, for saying what we're saying, okay? How he's gone after the pro-lifers, after he's gone after the homeschoolers, infiltrating, setting what they call assets into churches. And what happened there, J6, how he went after the pregnancy care centers out there, tried to close them down. Over 300 churches were attacked. 300 churches were set on fire, bombed and everything else, and they only prosecuted two. Hmm. And only two? I mean, you know, so, again, but how many, well, praise the good Lord that there are more now, but there were times, Richard, as you know, we were the only pro-life voice radio program in Ohio. We were it, okay? And, well, across the country for most part, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned a few times on the air about me going to prison over some of the things that we were fighting for. And that you had some close calls, but you didn't go to prison. And, you know, I think that Lord's hand was in me going to prison, and the Lord's hand was in keeping you out of prison. And because you're probably much more effective on the air than being in prison, and I think I was probably more effective for the Lord in prison than being out of prison. And the chances and opportunities and the men I was able to reach while I was in prison is just fantastic. I could talk for hours about the ministry I had in there, and it's just was absolutely wonderful.
Well, the Lord placed you there, and you were like Joseph. You were an in-house chaplain there at the prison. When they were without a chaplain, he stepped in, yeah.
Without officially being the chaplain, yes, I was.
You were recruited because they needed
it. Yeah,
and with me, like I said, they had tried it. It was set up.
That's why I say, but the Lord had your back in that respect.
Yeah,
and then He had me over in the prison, and that was just a tremendous working out there to be able to minister to all those men.
All righty, very good. The numbers are Bob in New Jersey pledges 25. Thank you, Bob. The numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And, you know, this past year, like I said, it was a tough year. You know, I was listening to the Pillow Man, you know.
Yeah.
And he also had a pretty tough year last year. I guess a lot of us did, okay, for a number of reasons. Our, you know, our income dropped by about 30%, which was really hard because so many, the economy was so bad.
Okay? Yeah. Yes, it was.
And but we made it through. I mean, even with that, we had, and I want to thank the good Lord, just when things looked really dark, it looked like, well, I'm going to have to pull the plug. Help showed up. We had some large donors that came in just right at the end and made some very large donations.
Praise the Lord for that.
And then because we had to announce that, look, we're going to have to go off some stations if, you know, when we announced it, and then we had some help where Salem said, well, we're going to readjust your rates, you know, rather than to have us go off to stations, because so many people were calling the stations and saying, you know, are you going to lose pastors? You know, what's right, what's left? Okay. Mary Lou in Texas pledges 45. Thank you, Mary Lou. Now, the first 3 days, because things were slow, I pledged 1,000 each night.
Oh wow!
But I can't keep doing that though. I can't do that. I mean, sometimes you just gotta, you know where your limitations are. But somebody else out there who hasn't pledged 1,000, I'll bet there's a whole lot of people out there. I'll bet there's millions that haven't pledged 1,000 to me, right?
Probably.
Now you folks can step in. Could you do that? Could you pledge 1,000? The number is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. See, if we go off the air and then there's nobody here at the radio station, then people like Style will lose his job. And he'll be out there like on a corner selling pencils. And, you know, you've seen that before, right?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
We don't want
don't want that to happen to Styles.
Yeah.
I'm not even good at sharpening them, so.
Unsharpened pencils.
Unsharpened.
All right. Folks, listen. If we can just get some more pledges, maybe we can get some heat in the studio, okay? Well, wouldn't that be a news story? Two elderly pastors found frozen at the mics, yeah.
Yeah, I brought my heated vest.
I know. I see that.
It's an
electric vest. It's lit up. It's got
a battery operated heated vest.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's cozy.
All righty. 888-281-1110. We're going to have to get into some of these news articles, Richard. Or 888-677-9673. We need to hear from you. Okay. We have one of the articles I wanted to talk about. This was, I did mention this last week. We talked about this somewhat last week, but BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, overseeing approximately $11.5 trillion, that's trillion, in assets, has decided to withdraw from Climate Pact backed by the United Nations and the advocates for aggressive decarbonizing of the economy. You know, this is Hosea chapter 4, you know, when it was referring to this is the New World Order. This is Klaus Schwab and those people. They're seeing this huge pulling away of a lot of money, a big, you know, and now.
That's yeah. Trillions.
Yeah.
I don't think the average person can understand what trillions is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're looking at it as, hey, guess what? The Antichrist system, this is the Antichrist New World Order. They're looking at this and, you know, and they're in a panic right now. They're in a real panic. It goes on to say, well, we have Anonymous pledges 50. And Sue in Michigan pledges 100. Thank you, Anonymous. Thank you, Sue.
Susan.
Or Suzanne, yeah. BlackRock spokesperson confirmed that Epic Times that the company has decided to withdraw from the Net Zero Asset Managers Initiative, coalition made up of more than 325 signatories managing more than $57.5 trillion in assets, all committed to the goal of achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 by allowing investments strategies with the objectives. If we don't have any carbon dioxide, what? How are the plants going to live?
Right.
I mean, we breathe in oxygen, right? And we exhale the carbon.
Mm-hmm.
They breathe in the carbon and exhale oxygen.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So what they want to do is take away our air, take away our breath, right? I mean, where is the logic in there? You can't do this. We know you've got the Bill Gates and his globalist depopulation plans and that. But even they have to have oxygen.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. You don't even know what they're thinking, so.
Well, we know it's not good.
No, it's certainly not good.
Okay, Chuck in Illinois pledges 25. Thank you, Chuck. All right, we're still looking for that first. Can I find the first $1,000 pledge? How about a $500 pledge? How about one $500 pledge, folks? We could use it.
Yeah. And that doesn't diminish those that are giving smaller amounts, because if enough people gave the smaller amounts, it certainly will support this show.
Yeah, but we need to get 1 million people giving a buck?
Well, that's a possibility, but let's hope it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Because our poor guys back there aren't going to be able to take care of 1 million people to take those phone calls.
Well, you know, I was here. This is, I got to get this open. This is amazing, Richard, where Trump stacks inauguration schedule with a flurry of activities. You won't believe what is scheduled here. January 18th, reception and fireworks will be held at Trump National Golf Club in Sterling, Virginia. This is all a part of his inauguration. Reception for cabinet nominees and a dinner will be hosted by Vice President-elect J.D. Vance. On the 19th, Sunday, Trump will lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery, where members of the military are buried. A victory rally will be held at the Capital One Arena, home of the Washington Wizards and Washington's capital. Trump will also host a candlelight dinner. And then on the 20th, Inauguration Day, they're going to the day will begin with the services at St. John's Church. Boy, I wish they would find a better church.
Yeah, I do too, but...
After the church service, you know, I guess not everybody's got the same standards, huh? You know?
Yeah.
Would be nice if they could hold the biblical standards, wouldn't it?
It would be nice, but it doesn't seem like we're ever going to get to that point.
Well, we will someday, okay?
Yeah, amen, amen.
After the church service, Trump will have tea at the White House with President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden. Boy, that's going to be exciting, right? You better have someone taste your tea.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, there better be high security this whole weekend.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's the other thing. They're talking about all of this high security. What did they say? They were going to bring in 7,800 military?
Yeah, something close to that.
7,800 National Guard are going to be there.
Oh, wow.
But the number of emergency medical teams are you know, triple, double.
Exponential, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. Okay. At noon, Trump will take the oath of office at the U.S. Capitol. The oath reads, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, you know, the Bible tells you, both in Matthew 5 and John 5, not to swear an oath, okay? This is why you know, when they put me under oath there, and they've done that many times, like they have you there, I always say, I give an affirmation.
Yes, I affirm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but a lot of people don't, most people, probably maybe not 1% of our population know that, huh?
I'm afraid so. The lack of understanding of the simple law, rules of law, the average person doesn't even know.
Well, it's biblical literacy. I mean, we've never had a time in our nation like we have today where there has been so much biblical illiteracy.
Yeah, you talk to people about simple contract law, trying to understand marriage, and they look at you like with mixed eyes, like, what are you talking about, contract law?
Yeah. Well, there used to be a Bible, and now there's 200 perversions of the Bible.
Oh,
and
yes.
So I think that's one of the main reasons. Now, he says here, after, go ahead.
2 minutes.
Oh, two. After saying goodbye to Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, the president will hold a signing ceremony near the Senate chamber where he will likely sign nominations so that his cabinet selection can be confirmed expeditiously. A lunch will be hosted by the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies with organizations and inaugurations events, including the swearing-in ceremony. Before the parade from the Capitol to the White House, the president will review the troops, parade down Pennsylvania Avenue, and the White House. Trump will hold a signing ceremony where he is expected to sign a flurry of executive orders. Trump will attend and address three inaugural balls, the Commander-in-Chief's Ball, the Liberty Ball, and the Starlight Ball. Trump will attend the National Prayer Service, concluding inaugural activities. Boy, that's a lot of pomp, huh, isn't it?
Yes, and that, you know, this, for all the listeners here, this is a important time for us to be on our knees and praying to God Almighty to protect our country and protect Trump during this time. This opening himself up to all those areas, it's just scary to think about this, and we need to really be in prayer about it.
There are a whole lot of people out there, and bad people, and again, you know, you saw, and I know I've mentioned this several times, that at President Carter's funeral, Hillary Clinton sitting there with the man who she said, if Trump gets into office, I'm going to hang, who sat, you know, 8 feet away from her right there.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on her face was like, she looked to me like the look of a condemned woman as she sat there, okay? But you know what? You have to listen. This is not about revenge. This is about justice. It's yeah, about justice.
Exactly.
What happened to all the children? You know, it's a horrible thing, and all of the people involved with Epstein and this Diddy thing, the Clintons are up to their eyeballs and all of that. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. Come back and help us. Two cold old pastors. We need your help. Okay, be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.